All right. We had a couple weeks ago, actually, a few weeks ago, started this lesson, the three-part lesson. We did the first part, and I got stalled on the second and third parts, but we're going to look at it tonight. We had been talking about the Jews and the Greeks in a dispensation of the gospel, the introduction of it, the initiation of the new gospel, newly inspired word of God containing the gospel of how to be saved now. Not like they did in the red letters, not like they did in the Old Testament. So the gospel of Christ was during the dispensation of the gospel. And that's the name it's given in the scriptures. When Christ later widened Paul's earlier sending from the Jews and Greeks to all men, then that same message of salvation became known as the gospel of the grace of God, in a dispensation of the grace of God. And that change ended the earlier dispensing of the gospel of Christ to the Jews and to the Greeks. Exclusively to them. Well, I shouldn't say exclusively. It ended Christ's sending of Paul to the Jews and the Greeks, mainly. Well, not mainly. That was his sending. It's just that he wasn't restricted to only preach to them. So there's a difference. And that difference may seem slight, but it it's there for a reason. It is an important difference. The name was changed, but the saving message in the gospel was the same in the gospel of Christ as it was in the gospel of the grace of God today. The name change was due to a change in the target audience. That it's no longer just sent to the Jews and the Greeks, but now it's sent to all people. And instead of the grace, a gospel of the grace of God being sent only to the Jews and the Greeks, it's now sent to the Jews, Greeks, barbarians, and that name is significant. We'll find out later. The barbarians, the Scythians, the Italians, Chinese, Arabs, Americans, everybody. Everybody is included in Paul's sending. Those epistles after the end of Acts, the epistles from prison, they were directly to us ungodly Gentiles that later were preached to, but weren't specifically invited in the Acts time period. So I believe that when those that are aware or associated with rightly dividing the word of truth, when they see these scriptural connections and divisions, they'll not be able to ignore anymore the gospel of Christ in a dispensation of the gospel. You know, check out the charts. It's not there. The gospel of Christ is mentioned 11 times in the scriptures. Gospel of the grace of God mentioned once. And that's valid, yes. But there's got to be some importance placed on the gospel of Christ in a dispensation of the gospel, if people are going to fully understand the impact of those Acts epistles and who they're to. Yes, it was two people in the body of Christ, but people that aren't there now. Well, they're in there in heaven, but they're not. There's no one coming in as part of a dispensation of the gospel. The gospel's already been dispensed, and now we come in to this dispensation of the grace of God, the long-term dispensation. So we've documented four different direct statements in the inspired Word of God showing that Paul was sent to the Jews and the Greeks before that ended with him being sent to all people later in Acts 20, verse 6. Now, we're going to read some things, and if you recall in Ephesus, Acts, I think it's just in Ephesus. Acts 19, verse 10, and Acts 19, verse 7, Paul's still talking to the Jews and the Greeks. Just one chapter, you know, maybe half a chapter before he's sent to all people in Acts 20, verse 6. So there is a definite dividing line there. During what period was the gospel of Christ sent to only the Jews and the Greeks? During what period? What was that that we called it? To answer that, it'll help us to see when Paul talked about the Jews and the Greeks. Paul wrote about the Jews and the Greeks in about 19 places without using the title Jews and Greeks. Now, he mentioned it, the Jews and the Greeks, several times, I think four times, but he talks about those groups, the group, I was going to say it's a single group of Jews and Greeks. The Jews and the Greeks came to God through the covenants, and they were in the synagogues, and that's how they got blessed by blessing Israel, because they got blessed by hearing Paul preach the gospel of Christ, or the gospel of God. When they believed it and got kicked out of the synagogues, they got to come to Paul's meeting and hear the gospel of Christ, how to be saved. In the seven chapters between Acts 13 and Acts 19, just before he was sent to all people, from the beginning of his of what the scriptures show us, where he preached the gospel of Christ, Paul used the title Jews and Greeks at least five times. I said four, but at least four other places, as seen, we can see them in these verses. Let's look at Acts 14:1. Paul talked about the Jews and the Greeks. He said, and it came, well, I guess Luke is actually writing the narrative in Acts. And it came to pass in Iconium that they, so Luke is talking about Paul and Barnabas as third person there, they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. What about the apostate Jews? What about the alien Gentiles? Doesn't say a single one of them was a believer. So the Jews and the Greeks came to God in the same way. And when they heard the gospel of God, they responded to Paul's message. Acts 16:3. Him would Paul have to go with him, talking about Timothy, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And he reasoned in, oh, this is Acts 18:4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. See how they're together. Now, God in his scriptures mentions the Jews separately, and sometimes, he mentions the Greeks separately too, but when they're together, there's a function that they perform. Look at Acts 19, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So when he says all they, he's talking about all the Jews and all the Greeks. All the Jews and Greeks, actually, that group together. Verse 17 in Acts 19. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also. Did I read that right? And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was multiplied. So that's people believing the name or identity of the Lord Jesus, the gospel of God, in essence. What Paul was preaching when he would go into the synagogue. You can see that in Acts 17:2-3. What the gospel of God is that he preached when he went into the synagogue. And it's named as the gospel of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, verse 8, and verse 9. Three places it's named as the gospel of God, what he preached when he was in Thessalonica. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So if you go back to 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And here we've got the good news of Christ, or the gospel of Christ, as being the power of God. There was something I wanted to bring up, but it slipped my mind. Christ, the power of God. All right, we'll go on. Oh, here it is, in 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called. So here he's going to tell us who was being called at the time 1 Corinthians was written, in Acts 19. Both Jews and Greeks were being called at that time. Right? Nothing about apostate Israel or apostate Jews or alien Gentiles being called at that time. Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And Paul summarized the dispensation of the gospel, that whole dispensation or dispensing of God in a certain way for that period. It's summarized in Acts 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, there they are again, Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God. Repentance toward God. That's, in essence, he's talking about believing who God is instead of disbelieving. He's changed your mind about who God is. He's the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. The Messiah, risen from the dead, the gospel of God. Repentance toward God, and then he also, in a figure, is talking about the gospel of Christ when he says, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just repentance about who he is, but faith toward him. And there are about 19 other Jews and Greeks instances that are not actually using the title of Jews and Greeks. When Paul was the gospel of Christ, it was no longer sent to the Jews and the Greeks at what time? When was that? Paul stopped talking about the Jews and the Greeks when he was finally sent to all men. That's when he stopped talking about that specific dispensing of the gospel to the Jews and the Greeks. No longer was he sent just to the Jews and the Greeks when he became sent to all men. Excuse me just a minute, please. When Paul, we need to find out when Paul did stop talking about the Jews and the Greeks. It was when he was sent to all people. The Bible indicates that the law and the prophets began, it indicates when it began and when it ended. The law and the prophets. The beginning of the law and the prophets was in Exodus 19, verses 3 through 8. I don't know that we can read that all right now, but that's there for you to look up if you want. Exodus 19, 3 through 8. And you read about the change of the law and the prophets in Galatians 3, 19. And in Matthew 25:31, and in Hebrews 7, verse 12, and in Jeremiah about the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. Well, the Bible teaches that Israel's gospel of the kingdom began, it teaches at what time it began and what time it ended. The beginning of Israel's gospel of the kingdom to the nation and to Israelites was in Luke 16, 16. It's told about then. Luke 16, 16, we should look at that probably. Luke 16, 16. It's not a recording of the first time the gospel of the kingdom was spoken. That was John the Baptist, but this talks about it. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So it changed from the law and the prophets to the kingdom of God. End of the law and the prophets at the time when John came, and that was the start of the gospel of the kingdom of God being preached. Let's see. The ending of the gospel of the kingdom, that was when Israel committed their unforgivable sin, when in Acts 7, when Stephen committed the final third of the rejection of Israel against God the Father through the rejecting the prophets, God the Son on the cross, and thirdly, God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, in Acts 7, when they stoned Stephen, Holy Ghost filled Stephen, speaking the words of the Holy Ghost to them, and they spoke against it, cried out with a loud voice in verse 57. So, and I've got some other references that indicate different things about the ending of the gospel of the kingdom. But the Bible indicates, I don't know, you know, how you look at these verses, but it indicates when Paul's gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks began. The first we hear of it, first indication we get of it, is in Acts 13. There are some that think it could have been before then and just not reported. There was a time period between there and Paul, when he came back from Tarsus, he was coming to people that had already separated. They already believed the gospel of God. They were in believing Israel instead of in disbelieving Israel. And so did he, for that first year, teach them what they already knew, the gospel of God? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us whether he started preaching the gospel of Christ then or not. People have their opinions, but it's better to keep to the scriptures, I guess. So, the gospel of Christ, the beginning of the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks was in Acts 9, verse 6, when Christ saved Paul. Paul was a Jew. The ending of the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks was when God sent that same saving message beyond the Jews and the Greeks to all people. Philippians 4:15, referring to Acts 20, verse 6. And you can see a change in the epistles, like specifically in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and Romans chapter 15. And this Acts 20 period, the Acts 20 indication incidents going on at that time, they all blend together to show that there was a change in the audience that Paul was being sent to. Let's look at those beginnings and endings a little more closely. We're going to go through them after all. The Bible indicates the Law and the Prophets. Law and the Prophets began when they began and when they ended. The beginning was in Exodus 19:3-8, and there you've got the kingdom promise, actually. So there were prophecies before that. You know that, I'm sure. Genesis 3:15, God prophesies that the seed of the serpent will... I better get that verse in front of me. Hold on. Get it exactly right. Not get it twisted backwards. All right, I see it. It says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it, her seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, that's a prophecy. And it began in Genesis 3 by God. But this is a prophecy about the kingdom here in Exodus 19:3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep, understood, if you will keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Well, how can they be above and be the same as? You know, we're not Israel. Israel is, at that time, Israel was above people like us. They will be in the tribulation, we won't be here. but they were, at the time back then, Israel was above the Gentiles. Verse 6. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, get this next word, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So they had gotten themselves into a covenant that they couldn't keep their part of the bargain. And they didn't know it. They were thinking that, oh, this is great. We'll just do this and be fine. Anyway, the ending of the Law and the Prophets, look at Galatians 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So how long did this the law last? Lasted till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Well, the seed came. There was a change in Israel as well as in the new body of Christ that was being formed starting with Paul in Acts 9. Jesus Christ will not come in fulfillment of the promises, the promise that was made. He won't come until he comes in his glory. We know that from Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. That's the description there of all the saints used in other places. All the saints are these holy angels, sanctified, set apart angels. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So that's when he begins to rule, when you start the thousand-year rule of Christ, when he comes in his glory with all his holy angels. And what a traumatic is the word event that's going to be for people on the earth. Of course, they will have been through all the trauma of the 70th week of Daniel, the 7 years. Hebrews 7 verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also in the law. And we can look at Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 31, and we'll see what it is. It tells right in the text what it is. So let's just read it. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Of course, that's been interrupted. Hosea 1:9 is where they are now. I will call this. We'll read that after we read this last verse in the series here. Jeremiah 31:34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, for every man and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the last of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That's when they get their day of atonement. You know, just as it says in Acts, as Peter preached in Acts 3:19, Israel gets their salvation at the second coming of Christ, when he returns. We're saved now. It's a different salvation. It's a different plan of salvation, different program of God. It was introduced by Paul, by Christ, actually, to Paul, and Paul was charged with telling us, and his epistles, Romans through Philemon, do that very thing. That's where we get our information. We get a lot of information about God and about the way things were in Exodus through Acts 8, but our information is Romans through Philemon. Hosea 1:9, Then God said, Call his name, Lo am I, for you are not my people. That's where they are today, Israel. And I will not be your God. If there was such a thing as a difference between physical Israel and spiritual Israel, or financial Israel, or whatever. I would not want to be spiritual Israel, because they're not God's people. And God said, I will not be your God, until that changes when he calls them and turns their heart to God. Zechariah 12:10. All right. The Bible indicates when Israel's gospel of the kingdom began and when it ended. The beginning of the gospel of the kingdom to the nation and to Israelites, nation of Israel and to the individual Israelites, was in Luke 16:16, and we read that. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And that's a good verse to show that not all gospels are the same. There is more than one gospel. Look at it. The law and the prophets is different. It goes until John, and after John is the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom. You can read that in Mark 1:14-15, that it's just what was being preached at that time and called the gospel. Let's see, was it the gospel of the kingdom, I think? I better look that up. Let's see, Mark 1:14-15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, when he preached the gospel of the kingdom, what did he say? What words came out of his mouth? Saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe. Believe what? Well, you always have to know what to believe. Believe the gospel. Well, what was the gospel? It says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying the time, here's the gospel, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, it's not at hand anymore. That gospel doesn't fit for us. It was at hand for them when Christ was walking among them, offering them the kingdom, and he was the king ready to bring it in. But they rejected it. So that's no longer a gospel for us. All right, let's go on. The ending of Israel's gospel of the kingdom, we're going to look at the fall of Israel as what where that ended. When Israel fell, that gospel that the kingdom was at hand was no longer valid, no longer preached, no longer useful to them. They missed their opportunity. If we look in preview at Matthew 12:31-32, that'll show us what Christ had warned them not to do. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And here's the other part of the pair of verses. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man. I think that's easier to find examples of someone speaking a word against the Son of Man or against the Holy Ghost than someone proving that they blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. But it says, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. We saw that on the cross. The Lord said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So, when did that happen? Let's first look at the five verses here in Romans. Romans chapter 11, starting with verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Well, they did stumble at the cross, but it wasn't for the purpose of them falling. They weren't destined to fall. They stumbled and caught themselves, except that rather through their fall. So the Bible is talking about that they did fall eventually. Through their fall salvation, and we just read it there, when they blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Which Gentiles did it come to? It doesn't say all the Gentiles. It qualifies them as the Gentiles that are to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. Those were the ones, part of the Jews and the Greeks. Those Greeks sitting in the synagogues, Sabbath after Sabbath, right in front of the Jews, provoking them to jealousy by being believers in the gospel of God, the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing, there's an introduction of a word, diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So there's a diminishing after they fell. And that goes on until they're cast away at the end of Acts. Verse 13, for I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some. So Israel provokes, the Gentiles in the synagogues provoke Israel to jealousy, and Paul, in his preaching, provokes to emulation them, the Jews, to try and save some of them. And verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the word, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the death? Life from the dead. Life from the dead. That's resurrection, isn't it? But if you look back at the beginning of verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, that talks about Israel's casting away being a sure thing. If you look at verse 2 in the same chapter, Romans 11:2, it says something to the effect of Israel is not cast away. Is that how it's read? God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. So he knew them back in Exodus. He knew before the beginning of time what their choices were going to be. God hasn't cast them away by the time of Romans 11. When Paul wrote this in Acts, he wrote it in Acts 20, three verses before he was sent to all people. So, we know that at some point Israel was cast away, but not yet by Acts 20 when he wrote Romans 11. But they had already fallen in Acts 7. It would help if we had a chart, wouldn't it? You can see Acts 7 comes before Acts 19 or 20 and comes before Acts 28. But we'll leave that for another time. So, if you look in, I left one verse out. We're getting close to closing here. But in the next series, we need to go an extra verse. Acts 7, verses 55, 56, and then 57. It's not in the verse list. But he being full, this is about Stephen, reciting to the leaders of Israel, the council, the elders, the scribes, and the high priest himself, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice. Okay, they rejected this, but the term there, they cried out with a loud voice, if you compare that with what we read in Romans, in Acts, Matthew 12:32, whosoever speaketh a word against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. That's a very close match there between speaking a word and crying out with a loud voice. That's when they fell, verse 57. So let's just look at three more verses and then we're going to close. Psalm 110 verse 1, and then Psalm 68 verse 1, and then one in Isaiah. So Psalm 110 verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So what happened was what was prophesied would happen. Chapter 68 verse 1, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let them also that hate him flee before him. So there is two prophecies coming together in one act, one incident there when Stephen saw Jesus Christ stand up on the right hand of God, rather than being seated at the right hand of God. So the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until... So there's an end to him sitting, and he stands until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. So I think that's when they decided to stone Stephen, when it sounded like Stephen was saying, God is coming after you guys. and they were not willing to accept it willingly, easily. Isaiah 3:13 to close. The Lord standeth up to plead, and the Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. Another confirming verse in that same area. All right, I'm done with this part of the lesson, and we hope to get part 3 tomorrow.